I must have heard the same line from my father at least 1,000 times. Because every time there was something that I wanted to do or wanted to have, I would always appeal to the fact that all the other kids were allowed to do it or have it. And my dad always gave the same answer, "You're not all the other kids." Probably sounds familiar to some of you, I would imagine. The reality is that we, in receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation, are set apart. We're not like all the other people who don't receive these gifts. And what sets us apart are the fact that God gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit to lead us and empower us in our own life of discipleship. God sets us apart through the sacrament of confirmation by making us followers, making us disciples of Jesus Christ, and in fact makes us fully initiated members of the Roman Catholic Church. That's God's gift to us in this sacrament. But it's not also some form of magic that just simply is bestowed upon us. We all receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit in confirmation, regardless of what we do with them. God is that powerful. But God also wants our cooperation with those gifts. You see, we receive tremendous grace through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's important that we, as individual disciples, make the choice to cooperate with that grace by using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, practically speaking, what does that choice to cooperate with that grace actually mean? It basically boils down to this. It means that we are choosing that we are going to worship at the altar of Jesus Christ. That we're going to worship at the altar of Jesus Christ. Now, I mean this both in a literal and in a spiritual sense. Obviously, in the literal sense, worshiping at the altar of Jesus Christ means that we are on a weekly basis close to this altar, close to the altar where our Lord's body and blood is made present in the sacrament of the Eucharist, that we receive from the actual literal altar of Jesus Christ his body and blood, that we receive that every week in order to nourish us, strengthen us, and empower us in our life of discipleship. We are called then to worship at the altar of Jesus Christ by always remaining physically close to that altar. But it goes beyond simply practicing our faith by coming to Mass on Sundays. Worshiping at the altar of Jesus Christ means that we place the altar of Jesus Christ at the center of our lives, at the center of absolutely everything that we do. Just as you see when you walk in this church, that this altar is large, it's visible, it's the focal point of this building, the altar of Jesus Christ spiritually must be the focal point of our lives, of our souls. That's what it means to worship at the altar of Jesus Christ. And we're making the choice in accepting these graces and cooperating with them to worship spiritually at that altar. My friends who are going to be confirmed, you know that making choices, any kind of choice in life, often involves renouncing alternative choices, the other option, the thing you didn't choose. And I want to speak about the altars that we are going to renounce today as well. Because the reality is that as we worship at the altar of Jesus Christ, there are a whole host of other altars that people worship at today. And what I mean by that are the altars that get in the way of our worship at the altar of Jesus Christ. Those things that would distract us, that take us away from focusing on the Lord. It could be possessions, it could be having a lot of influence or status. But there's one particularly dangerous altar I want to mention that is a very common altar of worship today. And frankly, it can be termed as the altar of self, of putting oneself at the center rather than our Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere you look in our culture today, everywhere you listen in our culture today, the message is the same, that you're the most important, that your personal autonomy, that your personal freedom is what matters more than anything else. That's the altar at which you should worship. Because after all, you're at the center. It's about your life. You choose. You decide. It's about asserting your prerogatives. It's about finding your voice. My friends, when we begin to worship at the altar of self, we can begin to convince ourselves then that we don't need Jesus Christ anymore, that we don't need God, because I'm all that I need if I'm worshiping at the altar of self. It's so dangerous because it's so common today, and so much of our culture is pushing us in that direction, to believe that we must be at the center of all that we do. My friends, in choosing to be confirmed today, you're choosing to realize as Catholic Christians, we believe that your life is not about you anymore. It's about the family and the community to which you belong. It's about this natural world of which you're only a very small part. And ultimately, it's about God and about God's purpose for you. God has a plan for you, each and every one of you, a plan that is unique to you. Now, I don't know what that plan is for you yet, and you know what, frankly, candidates, you probably don't know fully what that plan is yet either, and how exactly you're going to live it out in your lives. But know this, the plan to which God calls each one of us as his disciples is to share our faith with others. Remember, he told his closest followers at the time of his ascension to go make disciples. In other words, to go and share their faith so that others could be brought to the Lord. My friend, sharing our faith as disciples is God's purpose in a general sense for every one of us. And not just telling others about Jesus Christ, that's where it begins, but ultimately the goal is to lead them to the altar of Jesus Christ, both in the spiritual and in the literal sense, leading them to receive our Lord in the sacrament of the Eucharist. That's ultimately where sharing our faith and discipleship goes. Now, before I conclude, just a word to the parents who are here. Parents, I want to say a special thank you to you. Because just as you taught your children how to speak, in most cases, they heard the language of faith also first from you. It was your language of faith, your practice of the faith, shared with your young children that enabled them to first come to know Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you in continuing that journey. And to the dads who are here, you know, it's no secret that today there are many people who have distanced themselves from the altar of Jesus Christ, especially in the literal sense, simply not practicing the faith anymore. Do you know what's the single greatest predictor as to whether young people continue to practice their faith at the altar of Jesus Christ? It's whether their fathers do. I want to encourage you, dads, in that regard. And moms, your witness is no less important as you've shared the relationship with Jesus Christ, as you share the virtues, so important in passing along the faith. Candidates for confirmation, I want to encourage you today, always and every day, stay close to the altar of Jesus. Keep it at the center of your lives. Use the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you're receiving today to live as disciples and to make disciples, leading others to have the same relationship with Jesus Christ that you do. That is God's plan. If you're ready to live out that plan in an active and faithful way, candidates, then I ask you please to stand up now and renew your baptismal promises along with me.